Blog Talk Radio.
The blessings that he is bestowing upon us.
We want to say welcome to everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Whether you are on the African continent, in South America, North America, in the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc country, in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I want to take this time today and to acknowledge the countries that are, as I said, are listening to the broadcast. We want to encourage them to share the broadcast in their countries with their friends, you know, their neighbors, whomever there is that will listen to them, you know, share the link, download the lessons, and share those with them. The goal of the ministry is to get out the gospel in these last days, for that is what Yah desires, that we get out the word in these last days. He said, my ministry is to Israel, though, and to, you know, our people. This is the last call. However long that lasts, it's the last call. And so, but he wants this word to go out to all the nations. All of our people in all the nations. And so if you are listening in these nations, I pray that you would share this ministry and the gospel with your friends and family. Share it with your enemies. The Most High would that any should not be lost, and your enemy may become your friend if you don't. So we want to acknowledge those that are in Afghanistan, that are in Algeria, in Australia, in Belgium, in Brazil, in Canada, in China. And we want to welcome those new members in China. We know that China is a communist bloc country. And so if this is the Chinese government listening, we pray that you share the gospel with your citizens, because Yah would not have that any should be lost, and anyone can repent and come to him. With those in Colombia, in Denmark, in Finland, in France, in Germany, in Ghana, in Ireland, we want to welcome those in Italy, the territory of the Vatican. We welcome you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And if it's the Vatican listening, then we don't want to take anything personal, but we have to teach it as Yah says to teach it, and to say it and reveal it. We want to welcome those in Japan and in Mexico and in the Netherlands, in Nigeria, in Poland, in Portugal, in Russia, in Romania, South Africa, South Korea, in Sweden, in Tajikistan, in Thailand, in the United Kingdom, the United States, and Vietnam. We greet you all in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We pray that Yah richly blesses each and every one of you. That being said, on tonight, we're doing the name of the precept on tonight is 6 days with Yah. And where the Most High stayed with Israel when he came down to visit them, he stayed with them 6 days. Okay, and then he called Moses up to the mountain. And then there he was there on the mountain another 40 days. But there are some interesting things here that we as a people need to look at for the simple reason the way that Israel reacted to the Most High was just, it was treacherous. But I want to make sure that we're not doing the same thing. You know, when we're praying and we don't get the answer that we want, or we don't get an answer at all, that we don't do like our forefathers did and say, well, we don't know what happened to Moses. We don't know what happened to our prayer. We don't know what's happening with the Most High. But he's, you know, we go seeking elsewhere, we go seeking our own solution. And it may not be as going as far as making a molten image of another God, another deity. But we may be unaware that we are forsaking the Most High when we're going to seek even our own will, because we're saying we're not counting on him to handle it. So want to make sure that we make note of these things. It surprised me just how quick Israel turned on the Most High, just how quickly they turned on him. You know, and after him being among them in their presence on the mountain for 6 days, that they could so quickly turn. So, you know, I started contemplating some things, and we're going to read all this in the scriptures. But as we're reading, I want you to pay attention and look for it. Maybe Yah will answer you in this regard. One of the things is, how long did it take Aaron to make that golden calf? You know, he just didn't melt the gold and it popped out a golden calf. And how long did it take them to make the kennel to melt the gold? You know, these are all things you have to contemplate, because then you start realizing that some time went by, whether it was a day or two or three, a week. I mean, how do you fashion gold into a molten calf if you're not hammering it out, or you don't have some type of mold that you're using to pour the gold into? It's just not a quick thing. So I think when in the scriptures, when we get there, I will point it out, but it would seem to me that they, you know, they had, as soon as Moses turned his back almost, or a few days after he turned his back, and they're like, hey, we don't know what happened to him. Can't see him. He didn't disappear. That they wanted Aaron to make them a god. Okay. Now, here is the crux of the matter, and I don't even know if I should bring this up. Maybe I'll hold it off. But, you know, there are some things there, some other things that are there that have to make you go, But I don't want to put certain thoughts in people's minds, because they'll say, well, Brother Miles said, it may just be for me. It may not be for you. I'll have to see what the Most High says concerning some other things that I saw. But we want to consider these things, because we're always supposed to be looking at the scriptures in a critical way, looking what they are trying to teach us, and what the Most High wants us to learn from them. You know, the history is just not given to us to have a history. If we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it. If we don't learn from the past, we are doomed to repeat it. And so as we are looking at this, just see what you can pick up on, okay? Just see what you can pick up on. And I'm not going to mention everything that I saw, because I don't know if I'm supposed to. I think some of it may just be just for me. And until the Most High gives me an answer on it, I probably should not share it. Nevertheless, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and in Blog Talk on the Internet in general. May have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. For the sunrise, but we're facing toward Jerusalem. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. We just glorify you, Father, on today. We magnify your name and we lift you up, Father. Hallelujah. And we bow down to you, O Yah, and we pay a homage to you and to you alone. For you are our Elohim. You and you alone, Father, will we hear your voice and obey, Father. Hallelujah. Another will we not listen to, Father, but you and you alone. For you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And you are worthy of our obedience, Father. And we give it over to you 100%. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, on today for all that you have done for us this week, by keeping us safe and giving us blessings upon blessings upon blessings, Father. It is you and you alone that cause men to prosper or to do bad. Is there calamity in the earth that you have not caused? Is there a blessing that you have not caused? Hallelujah. We just thank you, Father. On today, hallelujah, thank you. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and they would come and they would obey and do all that you say. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And we're going to do our normal traditional scripture reading. Let's go to the 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we will start in verse 46. And I will personalize this in your reading if you are reading along. Just understand that I'm going to personalize it for Israel so that we make it personal to us, that we're not just reading words. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of our enemies, or in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart, with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of the land of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron. That thine eyes may be open and servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah thy Elohim of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. And amen. The blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
figure it out. I mean, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go after you heard this truth?
I've got a question.
So excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light
up high
to worship you.
And I bow down on my knees,
my knees,
all praise to you.
afraid.
You are in a
high.
To worship you.
To worship you.
My knees.
I vow to be humble, yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation, only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I
raise
to worship you. Bow down, all praise to you. Up high. I need you, yeah, I need you, yeah, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, I need you, oh, I need you.
Everybody, and I will send out an email on this and the text on this after this broadcast, that the new moon service is tomorrow night. And so we want to make sure that we have our grape juice and our unleavened bread as we celebrate the start of the new month, as Yah has commanded that we should do. It's equal to the weekly Sabbath, equal to the other feast days, Pentecost and Passover and Tabernacles and Day of Atonement. It is equal to those days, the new moon, the celebration of the new month. And so that is tomorrow night, and we pray that everybody will be in attendance on that, and an email to remind everyone. Remember that we are not using wine, but we are using grape juice in celebration of this. So be mindful of that. All right, that being said, I want to go to Exodus chapter 24. And let's get our reference verse for tonight's precept. Exodus chapter 24, and let's get verse 16. And the word of the Most High reads, and the glory of Yah abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. So we're going to go back and find out what was going on previous to this, because it's important that we understand what the Most High was doing with Israel, what he came down to do with them, to present himself to Israel, what he did and what he told Israel, then what he told Moses to do. And we're going to look at, within this time frame, how the children of Israel quickly corrupted themselves. And, you know, this had to already be in their heart. So they're answering, they're going to answer a question and make a promise to the Most High, and then quickly break their promise. And so we want to look at this, because you got 6 days that the Most High was on Mount Sinai. Israel saw him. 3 verse 17. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Mount Sinai, when they got there, wasn't on fire. It wasn't melting. The ground wasn't shaking. And then for the Most High to come down and show himself to Israel, and they see the mountain on fire and melting. This fire is like a devouring fire. That means that it was consuming whatever it was doing, whatever it was touching. We have to understand that the children of Israel saw this, and it should have done something to them. It should have made them even fear even more. But it's like the longer that the Most High stayed there, the less that they feared. But we're going to go back and go to Exodus chapter 19. Chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse 1. And we want to dissect this, what is going on here in Israel. And as I said, we want to make sure in our personal lives that we don't do what Israel did. Okay? So if the Most High seems like he has disappeared or is not answering us, that we don't take matters into our own hands. Because this is what I mainly get out of this. But the Most High is, he's instructing Israel. So let's read this. And we've read it before, but we need to read it again, because there, you know, as with all scripture, first, second, third, fourth, fifth time you read it, you get certain things out of it. And then after a while, you get so much that you tend to stay there. And then you don't read it for a while, and you come back and read it again. You find something else that you didn't see before, all the times before. Okay, so let's read this. And we are going to be reading, let me give fair warning to everybody, you are going to be reading from Exodus 19 to Exodus 24. So just get, you know, get ready for that. We're going to be reading all these scriptures. Third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai. So they've been gone from Egypt 3 months. And they've been traveling in the wilderness for 3 months. So how long did it take them to get from Egypt to Mount Sinai? 3 months. Quick fact. And, you know, if we go back and we read Exodus 1 through 18, then we'll see that they had some run-in with some people. They had some battles that they had to do. But it only took them 3 months. And it's 3 months to move between 2 and 6 million people. Because, you know, if every man of war, and got to look at it like this, every man of war, there was like 600,000 men of war. That's between the ages of 20 and 45 or 50. Then you got men that were older than that, and you got men that and children that were younger than that are not in these numbers. It's only the men of war. And if the men of war, if they all had a wife, that's 1.2 million people right there. And if each one of them had only one child, then that's 1.8 million people. So we don't, it doesn't say how many children, doesn't say how many women, doesn't say how many men that are over the age and how many men are under the age, the number of the men of war. So that number of Israelites coming out of Egypt could have been anywhere between 600,000 and 6 million. Could have even been greater than that. Because we're not told how many Egyptians came out with them, how many in the mixed multitude. We're only told about how many Israelites came out. We're not told how many are in the mixed multitude. So I think it's a fair, it's fair and it's reasonable to say 2 to 6 million people easy. Now you got to think about, you got, even if you got the bare minimum, you got 600,000 men. Don't even worry about children and women and all that. 600,000 people. You got to feed 600,000 people. You got cities that aren't 600,000 people in the U.S. And you're a pretty good-sized city if you have 500,000 or a million people. I think Phoenix is the number fourth largest in the nation, and we only got 5 or 6 million. So think about moving a city of that size, the people, all of them, with all their goods, everything that they have, they're carrying either on donkey or on back, on wagon or donkey or on their back, them all. You have to water them all. You have to make room for all that defecation. And the most times, like, hey, this stuff is too much. I can't walk among y'all. Y'all just doing it everywhere. So there are some logistical issues here. And we have to take those things into account. So when we come up to Mount Sinai and they are all camped around Mount Sinai, then there are some things that are stated that we need to take a critical look at. Okay, so let's continue to read. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. You saw the plague. You saw me split the Red Sea. You saw me turn it dark in all Egypt. Only in Goshen, where you live, was there light. You saw me turn all the rivers and all the water into blood. You saw all the miracles that I did and how I brought you out of Egypt. You saw what I did to the Egyptians. That's no small thing, because Egypt was a great empire. So great, in fact, that whoever conquered them never changed their name. I don't care if it was the Romans, if it was the Assyrians, if it was the Babylonians, if it was the Greeks. They never changed the name of Egypt. They never renamed it. That's how great it was. And that's how prestigious it was and is to have conquered Egypt in those days. And remember, Yah said he made Egypt great. And he was the Elohim of Egypt. He was the God of Egypt. But they corrupted themselves. And so he said he was going to destroy them. And then he told Israel in later books, hey, if you do like the Egyptians did, I'll destroy you too. So Egypt was first scattered before Israel was scattered for what they did to the Most High. Now we have him coming with a new people that he has raised up in Egypt, and he's brought them out of Egypt because he's already told Moses he's going to destroy Egypt. And he destroys Egypt and then more or less robs Egypt on the way out, causes them to give up all their gold and stuff, loan it. They think they're loaning it to the Hebrew children, the children of the Most High, but they are really giving it to them because the Most High wants Israel to leave from Egypt with wealth that they didn't have to fight for. And the Egyptians gave it up willingly. Hey, y'all just get out of here. Go do what you got to do. Okay. So they are now at Mount Sinai, reminding them, remember what I did in Egypt? You saw the plague. You saw the miracles. You saw how they didn't touch you. And they should have fear of him for that alone. But there's something in Israel that caused them not to fear. And I don't know what it is exactly. Maybe it's just being stiff-necked and hard-hearted. But they saw him and they feared for a minute. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed. I want you to hear what the Most High is asking them. If you will obey my voice, obey what I tell you to do. Do what I tell you to do. Don't do what I don't tell you to do. Whatever I say, obey it. That's what he's saying. If you will obey my voice, whatever I say, if you will obey it and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. If you are obedient to me, you shall be very special to me. You shall be precious to me. If you obey my voice, covenant, above all the people of the earth. So this is a racial thing. The Most High chose a people. He says, if you will obey my voice, if you will do whatever I tell you to do, you shall be precious to me above all people on the earth, for all the earth is mine. I want you to put yourself in their shoes. You have the Most High saying this. Now, you don't hear this. This is at this time, this is coming from the mouth of Moses. The people have not heard the Most High speak. And they don't know when Moses goes up on the mountain what he's doing. But Moses comes back off the mountain and says, this is what the Most High said. And the people go to verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people. Moses wasn't going to tell the entire nation. Tell the elders. The elders are going to transmit this information to the people. I tell 100 elders or 1,000 elders. I can't tell it to 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. 1 million people. My voice ain't that loud. I ain't got no megaphone, no speaker. So I need to transmit this to all of Israel. But I'm going to do it through the elders. So he calls the elders of the people. This is the way he operated when he went into Egypt. Now Israel was known to follow their elders. When Moses first went into Egypt, he said, hey, these people ain't going to listen to me. The Most High said, go tell the elders. That's who the people are following, the elders of Israel. So this is continuing here. And laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded him. So he tells the elders tell the people. Now, in verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken, we will do. What Yah has spoken and told Moses was up in verse, is up in verse 5. Obey my voice, covenant. Now, the people don't know what this consists of, but they are agreeing to it. They answer, All that Yah has spoken, we will do. He says, obey his voice, we'll obey whatever he says. This is what they're agreeing to at this time. And we will keep his covenant. We'll keep the contract. They don't know what it consists of yet. They don't really know what all Yah is asking them. But they quickly agree. All that Yah has said, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. The people have agreed that they will obey your voice, whatever you say they will do, and they will keep the covenant. That's all that has been said so far. And Yah said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you. I want them to hear me speak to you and believe forever that I speak to you, because they're going to hear me speak to you for themselves. They're not going to just hear me speak to you, because the Most High gives the children of Israel the Ten Commandments personally. They didn't come via Moses. They didn't come through Moses. So we're going to read this. And Moses told the words of the people to Yah, and Yah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. No, let me finish verse 9. And Yah said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yah. They agreed that they would obey. And Yah said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Tell them to clean themselves up and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. So we got 3 days to get all these people ready, whether it's 600,000 or whether it's 6 million. You got 3 days. And on the third day, Yah is going to come down in a thick cloud. Okay. In the sight of the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount, or not up into the mountain, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. So when the Most High comes down, he says, I don't want them coming up here. I don't want them trying to look at my similitude. And whosoever even touches the border of the mountain shall be put to death. So that should make you fear within itself. Then there shall not be a hand touching, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, shot with an arrow. They didn't have guns, so shot with a bow and an arrow, or threw a spear through him, whatever. Whether it be beast or man, don't let no animal, don't let no man touch this mountain. It shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. Come up to the border of it, but don't go past the border. Don't touch it. Don't even let your hand touch it. So don't reach down and pick up a rock and say, this is what holy ground feels like. That would have cost you your life. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, and come not at your wives. Some don't have any sexual relations, because I want you clean. So the law has not even been given yet. And the Most High is showing a principle to Israel here. You're going to be in my presence, then you need to have your clothes washed, your body washed, and you don't need to do nothing that's going to make you unclean. It's going to make you dirty. And this is physical dirt here. This ain't spiritual dirt. This ain't some physiological or physiological thing. It's not a theological thing. This is actual just, I want you washed and clean. And I don't want you having sex and then coming to see me. Stay clean. Physically. Now, this same principle he gives to them in Leviticus, all the laws concerning these things, but he's showing them right here, you just can't come before me any kind of way. So just looking at some things from the very beginning, okay? And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon a mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now, when we play the shofar, I'm sure nobody trembles at the sound of the shofar when I play it. We might, you know, it might cause some form of deep reverence if we have an understanding of what the shofar represents, because it represents this event right here. But I'm sure that none of us are trembling in our shoes. And so we got to understand the sound that they heard is nothing like the sound that we're hearing. You're hearing a blast come through the air, and it's causing the ground to shake, causing the earth to tremble, and they start trembling. And this sound doesn't get lesser, it gets louder. So the arrival of the Most High was this great event, and it was an extreme event. So imagine in your heart, in your mind, that you hear something, and it's so loud that it causes the ground to shake. If we heard that today, we would tremble too, especially if we didn't know where it was coming from. But they knew where it was coming from, and it still caused them to tremble. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim, and they stood at the nether parts of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, on fire, because God descended upon it in fire. See, we always equate fire with the devil. That's what they want us to believe. But everything that they say of Satan or the devil in the scripture, that actually really describes the Most High. His appearance is as a fire. When he comes down, everything burns up. And so we got to understand that they're seeing this, and the mountain is on fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. The whole mount. Hi, baby. I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you. You want to sit here and listen? Yeah. Yeah, be quiet. Be quiet. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because Yah descended up on it in fire. Yeah, you gotta be quiet, or people are gonna make you go out. It's mine. Okay. Thank you. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and Elohim answered him by a voice. So this trumpet blows louder and louder. The people are becoming, you know, more afraid and more afraid. And then Moses speaks, and the Most High answers Moses by a voice. Now, Moses is not the only one that hears this voice. And Yah came down upon the Mount Sinai, on top of the mount, and then Yah called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And Yah said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto Yah to gaze, and many of them perish. Now, he's already told Moses that the people can't come up, and they can't go to the on the border, can't touch it. Here you go. Okay. He's already told them. But he knows what's in their heart. This is a stiff neck. a stiff-necked people. And he knows it's in their heart, just like, you know, today, if they don't do it, first thing people want to do is find out how to do it. So they see him come down in this fire, and the mountains to burn up. And he calls Moses up and he says, hey, go tell these people, don't come up here. At least they perish. And let the priests also, which come near to Yah, sanctify themselves, lest Yah break forth upon them. Now, we got to ask ourselves, what priest is he talking about? The Levitical priesthood hasn't been anointed yet. And so the 70 that the Most High had selected for Moses, telling them, don't come up. Okay. And Moses said unto Yah, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And Yah said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto Yah. So maybe I missed this one, and Yah has already sanctified or chosen the priest. But I didn't think the tribe of Levi was chosen until after the golden calf. But I could be mistaken on that. Upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So Moses go down and say, hey, remember, don't come up on this mountain. And priests, make sure that you're sanctified, that you are especially clean, lest Yah break forth on you. And so Moses went down and spake unto them, sort of Exodus chapter 20. Now remember, the people can hear Moses talk to the Most High. And Elohim speak all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim. He's talking to all the people. He's introducing himself. I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Moses is not telling them this. Elohim speak all these words. And the people are hearing. So it'd be like the Most High telling you personally, or you're hearing it in a crowd, the instructions directly from the Most High. You ain't got to guess who it is. You ain't got to guess what you're hearing. You ain't got to think that you're dreaming. You know who speaks. Okay, and the whole nation is hearing this. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim. The people are hearing this, and he's speaking directly to the people, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain, for Yah thy will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Not cursing, not saying GD or anything like that. But don't enter into this relationship with me and say you belong to me, and then don't obey me. Don't obey my voice. That's taking his name, saying that all that you have said we will do, we will be your people, you'll be our Elohim. Don't take my name as a wife takes her husband's name and treat it as nothing. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the Sabbath day comes all the way from Genesis. On the seventh day, he rested. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah. The seventh day is not the Sabbath of Israel. Anybody who says that they're worshiping the God of the Bible, the Elohim of the Bible, has to understand that the Sabbath is his. Not Israel. He's giving it to Israel. He's saying to observe it, to keep it, obey it, honor it, honor me in it. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughters, thy manservants, nor thy maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Nobody in Israel. Don't try to say, oh, you're not a Hebrew Israelite. You are a purchased servant. The Sabbath don't apply to you. Get out there in that field and work. That's why he makes sure not your maid servants, not your man servants, not your animals. Thing in Israel is supposed to work. Nothing in this world is supposed to work on his Sabbath if we want to know the truth of it. This is not a day that Israel made up and say, oh, we're going to honor the Most High on it. This is the day that the Most High gave to them. This is my Sabbath. This is my day of rest. This is what I want you to do. I don't work. I don't want you working. But the world will turn around and say, oh, no, that's Israel's Sabbath. That belongs to them. He told them to keep it. We don't have to. If you worship this same Elohim, it is your Sabbath. It is your day of rest. Israel was just the nation that he gave it to first as far as keeping it, but it's his. It's not Israel's. And I think people do that. People do that so that they don't have to keep it. They use it as an excuse so they don't have to keep it. But they don't want to see that it says right there, the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. If he's their Elohim, if he's their God, in the English vernacular, if he's their God, then it's their Sabbath too. Now, they will honor all the rest. Why, when it comes to this, they don't want to keep it? Anyway, let me move on. Verse 6, now he's telling them why in verse 6. This is why we keep the Sabbath. For in 6 days Yah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day. Yah hallowed it. He made it holy. It's his day. So how in the world is anybody who said that they worship the same Elohim of this Bible, said that they don't keep his day or that they can change his day to whatever they want? That's just flat out just stupidity. Hate to say it that way, but it is. Just flat out stupidity. It's arrogant. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Don't be looking at other people's houses and wishing you had what they had, comparing what you got to what they got, bragging about what you have, trying to make yourself appear to be big, because he says that's a bad spirit. That's the spirit of pride, actually. And he hates the spirit of pride. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let us not speak with, but let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. So they thought to be in the presence of the Most High was death. But he said, obey. So it's got to be already in their heart that they don't think they're going to obey. Or they don't want to obey. But you go speak with him. We'll speak to you. You speak with him. Lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you. See, we don't think Elohim tests us, but he wants to know what's in you. He wants to know that if he allows Satan to come and put temptation in front of you, are you going to obey him? Are you going to fear him enough that you're not going to even let the temptation take hold in you? To prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. If you think you're going to not sin out of your own free will, if you think you're not going to sin because you love the Most High, don't you think he would have known that? He said, no, I know that if you truly fear me, you're not going to sin. You might try to take advantage of my love, my kindness, my mercy. If you know that I will kill you, if you have fear of that, that you might just drop dead. And see, I think the problem is today, because we're not just dropping dead when we are disobedient, we think that we can just say, I'm sorry, and it's okay, and he's back, and it's all good. That's a problem, though, because it shows a lack of reverence, shows a lack of understanding, shows a lack of fear. Surely, the Most High wouldn't do that to me. But he's setting up Israel so that, and he's telling them from the beginning, if you do these things, you're going to die. Not you're going to get put in time out. Not you're going to get, you know, a slap on the wrist. But you're going to die. The only life you know, you're going to lose. So whatever you think about death, evidently death was something that I think a lot of them didn't fear, because the Book of the Dead, you know, teaches people that they could buy their way into heaven. And they could do it with their righteousness. But it was righteousness according to man, not according to the Most High. So he said, sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where Elohim was. And Elohim said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Now, you don't see with your ears. But he's saying to them, you have seen and heard that I talk with you from heaven. I gave you these commandments. Now, because you said speak through Moses, I'm going to speak through Moses now. But I would have been speaking directly to you. So he tells them, you shall not make with me Elohims of silver, neither shall you make unto you Elohims of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. Now remember, he's now telling this to Moses, and Moses is going to have to translate this to the people. But it's the same day. It's still the third day. Elohim has come down. He's talking to the people. He lets them see that he speaks to Moses, lets them hear it. And now, here comes, he gives them the 10 instructions of things that they are to hear and not to do. And here comes some more instruction. But the people have already agreed. Anything that you say, we will obey. They've already agreed to this. Okay? before he gave them the Ten Commandments, they had already agreed. So he gives them the Ten Commandments, and now here is, don't make any Elohims of silver. Don't make no idols of gold or silver or anything. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. This is what you're going to do for me. Don't make no god of silver and gold. Make an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offering, and thy peace offerings, and thy sheep, and thine ox, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. So only do it where I tell you to do it. Don't do it up on every mountain. Don't do it in every valley. Don't do it on every street corner. Only where I tell you I'm going to put my name. Then I will come and I will meet you there. And I will bless you. And if thou will make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn or cut stone. For if thou lift up a tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. I don't want you trying to make no type of shape that you think is going to be pleasing me. What pleases me, I've already put in the earth. Can you see that old raggedy rock over there? Go get it. Don't put no hammer to it. Don't put a chisel to it. Don't cut it in any kind of way. Just bring me something next, and I'm good. Other than that, if you do it, you're going to pollute it. Neither shalt thou go up by the steps of my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. I don't want you bringing your naked behind up here. But don't build my altar up high, so somebody got to walk behind you, and then they see you're behind. So the altar couldn't be up on stairs, couldn't be up on a stage, couldn't be up high. Things that he's telling us. Exodus chapter 21. Now these are the judgments. These are the things that men don't want to keep today. And I've said it over and over and over again. I'll say it again. Israel want to say that they keep the statutes and the commandments of the Most High. I still have yet to hear a Hebrew say, we keep the judgments of the Most High. But he says, this is what I want for you to do. These are the judgments which you shall set before them. Somehow, the Most High's ruling, that's his judgment, his ruling on any particular subject, Israel don't want to keep that. No, we don't want your ruling. You don't know what's best for us. And your judgments are extreme. We don't want those. And they still don't want them today. I know, because I've gone before so many Hebrews and said, hey, what about this? Oh, no, we can't do that today. We're not in our land. We're not this, we're not that. Then you can't keep the commandments. You are lying through your teeth. You're going through the motions. But he says, you keep my commandments, and if you break them, this is my judgment. Oh, no, we can't follow those penalties. These are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou by, now we're going to read these, and I'm not going to elaborate on all of them. Put them into proper perspective for our day. We don't have donkeys. We don't have mules. We have cars. We have homes. You know, we have these different things, and where they apply in that respect, we apply them. And with the principle of the law, that's why he says the spirit of the law. The letter kill it. Because if you try to follow the law to the letter, you say, hey, I don't have an ox. That don't apply to me. We don't have these things today, so these don't apply. What is the intent of the law? That's the spirit of the law. And so it doesn't have to be exactly black and white. It just has to fit the circumstance. So replace the ox with your car or with a dog, with the things that we have today, and they still apply. Oh, no, we'll take our own judgment. We'll do it our way. This is what the world is saying. But even in the New Testament, he says, the letter killeth. The people want to use that as an excuse to say, we don't have to follow that law. He said, no, you need to follow the spirit, the intent of the law. What is this law preaching to? What is it trying to teach you? How to behave with your brother? How to react in a given situation with your brother or your sister? How do you react with the law? What is the Most High consider to be fair and unfair? So we got to understand this is what he's saying. These are my judgments. When we go to court, we got two lawyers, one for the defense, one for the state or whoever suing. And then we got a judge or a jury. If it's a judge only, when that judge goes to make his judgment, that's what stands. You can appeal to a higher court if you don't like the judgment in the United States, okay? In the scripture, you don't have any place to appeal when it comes to the Most High judgment. He is the highest judge there is. You can't go above him. Matter of fact, he said, you know what? My priest represents me. So I'm going to put an elder and a priest together. You got a problem, you take it to them. Whatever they judge, whatever they come out with, that's what follow, and you follow it to the letter. Because they represent me. And if you don't agree with the judgment, you are to be killed. Because it's the same thing as saying you don't agree with the Most High. This is how he took it. This is how he laid it out. So we might be looking at, oh, that's the judgment of men. No, the Most High says, this is the system I put in place. I told you I was going to put an elder of Israel who was to teach and enforce the law, and I was going to put a priest who's going to tell the elders what the law meant if they didn't know, and what my verdict is, what my judgment is in this matter. And if you didn't like my judgment, kill them. Now, that is straightforward. This is why Israel don't like his judgment. And that's why Israel don't even say today that we keep his judgment. But let's just read some of these, okay? And understand where it says ox or whatever, what I want you to do is get the intent, the spirit of the law. The Most High knew that times would change. People weren't going to be riding and using ox or mules or all this stuff forever. That knowledge would increase. We would learn technology. We would learn science. Spirit of the law stays intact. Times will come and times will change, but the word of Yah never changes, and the nature of men never changes. Their tools may change, but they don't change. So let's read this. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. You couldn't keep a Hebrew, your fellow Hebrew, a servant forever unless they wanted to be kept a slave forever. But the law required that you kept them that they served for 6 years to work. One day for a year, and the seventh you let them go out free. Okay. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. So a man sold him and his wife into servitude. They were a Hebrew. They could serve you, him and his wife could serve you for 6 years. If he had came with a wife. If he didn't come with a wife and you gave him a wife, you didn't come with her. She don't leave with you. Let's read this. Now, these are not the words of Brother Miles. This is the word of the Most High. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters. You didn't come with her. I gave you a wife. She belongs to me. She is my property. Put it where it can be gotten. She is my property, and she's not leaving with you. Her or your children. They belong to me. And he shall go out by himself. He said, these are my judgments. If you try to enforce that stuff in the States or among the Western world, and they'll say, hey, we don't do slavery. We don't do any of this type of stuff, but they'll put you in bondage another way. But this is the Most High, and these things haven't changed. So it's like there's certain relationships that are in the scripture that the Western world will want to frown upon. But they are Elohim sanctioned relationships by him. So let's keep reading this. Now, if it's a Hebrew, 6 years. If he come in by himself, he leave by himself. If he get married while he's with you, then whatever he owns becomes your master too. Can't leave with him unless his master gives them to him. But the Most High says, no, they belong to the master. There's a reason why he's your master. You either sold yourself or you did something. They got yourself in this situation, and you are his money. Okay. Verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. You gave me this woman. I've had children with her. I'm married to her. I don't have a problem with you. You've been a good master to me. I don't want to go. Then his master shall bring him into the judge. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. He shall pierce his ear. And he shall serve him forever. 6 years or forever. But it's the servant's choice. What they tried to do to us in the U.S., they tried to make us ever against our own will. In this case, the servant is set free. And then he has to make the choice. You know what? I love you. I love the woman you gave me. I love the children that we've had together. I don't want to go. Then he was to have his ear pierced. Now these young men walking around today with their pierced ears, not understanding that it really is a sign of a slave. And if you're going to pierce your ear unto Yah. Become the slave of Yah. Get it pierced for that reason and no other reason. Because whatever you pierce your ear, whatever you're thinking, you're making yourself a servant to that. So So if you're a man and you're going to pierce your ear, pierce it unto Yah. Nothing else. Just saying. If a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, he's probably in debt. He don't have money. Here, I will sell you my daughter and she will work for you. She'll clean your house. She'll cook. She'll do all these things. She shall not go out as the men servants do. So the woman was not to be released after 6 years. Now, I can hear the women say, oh, that ain't fair. Let the man go. You're going to have to take that up with Yah. Because he's got a different standard for the woman. My wife can't stand this. Some man wrote that. Yeah, some man did. Supposed to be inspired by Yah. Supposed to be Moses. You can't pick and choose out of the scripture what you want to obey and disobey. We don't get that opportunity. We don't get that right. But that's what people want to do. When we read all scripture, we'll say yeah to that. Like we don't understand all scripture. Oh, no, but I don't agree with that. But this is Yah talking, so let's keep moving. If a man shall sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servant do. If she please not her master, who has betrothed her, now he's taking her to be his wife now. He has betrothed her. So the father came and sold her, and this is why the Most High says she can't go out. Because, you know, he don't want her going out and the man been messing with her. She's in his house. He come in on her in the middle of the night, whatever. If he does this in these days, she's supposed to become his wife. He don't just sleep with her and say, oh, yeah, that was some good tale. I'll be back tomorrow night. Or I'll come get some at lunch, whatever. Can't do that. That wasn't what the Most High was saying. He says, hey, you sleep with her, she's your wife. Not her master who has betrothed her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. Her father can buy her back. Why? To sell her unto another, to a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he has dealt deceitfully with her. Now remember, in these days, the woman could be divorced. And she could remarry under the law. She could remarry. She's not a virgin now. Any man taking her for a wife, all she got to do is say, hey, I done been with somebody else. And for whatever the reason, he makes the decision, well, I love you. I'm going to marry you. Then he accepts that. That's the way we're acting today. But that's not the situation we're under today. See, we love the law when it applies to us, when it works in our benefit. But when the law is against us, we don't want that judgment. No, we don't want to follow that. We want to do what's convenient to us. So in these days, before Messiah came and said, hey, that was never the intent, because he said this man dealt deceitfully with her. Now, since her father sold her to him, he said she can be redeemed. She can be bought back. You can't sell her to another nation, to prostitute her out to another nation. She shouldn't even have been prostituted to this man. He made her his wife and then said she didn't please him. Didn't say why she didn't please him. And the scripture don't say what she's got to do to be displeasing. She just don't please him. then her father could come back and say, I want to buy my daughter back. She could be redeemed. But she couldn't just be set free on her own to go about and do whatever she wanted to do. And if he had betrothed her unto his son, he didn't take her for a wife for himself. He took her for a wife for his son. He shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. You know, a father is going to treat his daughter different than he treats even his wife, really, in most cases. But definitely different than he treats another woman out there on the street, another woman of another household. He should, if he ain't perverted. Because he know how men are. And he knows what the mind of a man is. Can I get laid? Will she give it up? And in Israel, for a woman not to be a virgin, this was a bad thing. So most men know what are on most men's minds. And a lot of young women, young girls, being naive, thinking that it doesn't apply to them. They want to be in a relationship. They want to belong to somebody. And this boy or this man comes and tells them whatever they want to hear. Whatever they want to hear to get what they want. And as soon as they get what they want, it's no longer the same. It's no longer the same thing. I got the prize. I got the goodies. That's the game that goes on today. It's been going on for a long time. For a long time. But it's especially in this land of liberty. When they created the birth control pill and women could no longer get pregnant, they could have sex and didn't have to worry about getting pregnant, it was a whole new game, a whole new ball game. Because now I don't have that fear of getting pregnant, which is going to tell everybody what I've been doing. That was one of the biggest changes, inventions in this century, in the last century, in the lifetime of the world. The Greeks used to get by it by having anal sex. Didn't have to worry about it getting pregnant. Not that way. And that's the way they used to practice birth control. That spirit just didn't pop up in the world. Because the Greeks were known and the Romans were known to, you know, sleep with little boys. Didn't have to worry about them getting pregnant. Even groomed them all the way up through the army and through the ranks to be their replacement. But they were sleeping with them. So in this case, we have, you know what? People were doing it and trying not to get caught. And if the woman happened to get caught at a certain time and period, then it was a disgrace to her and her family. Everybody know what you've been doing. So now you got birth control. You can do it and can't nobody say, oh, for sure, we know you're doing it unless they catch you in the act. And now these days it's just acceptable. It's expected that a woman is going to have sex just like a man. But this was never the intent of the Most High. Never his intent. And you can call it a double standard. You can call it what you will. But your problem is with the Most High. Because this is his judgment. We don't like that judgment. That judgment seems one-sided. Seems like it's to the favor of the man. It may be. Well, give me the pill. Because, you know what? You know, man better than I am. It's not, your problem ain't with the man. Your problem is with the Most High. Just telling you straight up, your problem is with the Most High, it's not with the man. This is the Most High. Just keep reading. So if he gives her to his son, he's to treat her like his daughter. He's responsible for her like he would be responsible for his own daughter. So he wouldn't just turn his own daughter over and say, hey, here. Go sleep around. Go ahead and get pregnant and do this and do that. He wouldn't do that. If he take him another wife. Now, this is the one where I know a lot of people have issues, but remember, these are his judgments. These are not the judgments of Brother Miles. These did not change in the New Testament. Because men don't want to follow them. That's why when Abraham took Hagar, the Most High didn't say, no, don't take Hagar to be your wife. He should have told Abraham, hey, don't listen to Sarah. She's out of her mind. She want a baby so bad that she'll let you sleep with this other woman. And if you do that, you're going to be a fornicator and adulterer. He didn't tell Abraham that. He didn't tell David, don't go get you five wives before I make you king. David is a man after his own heart. He didn't tell him that. He didn't call Abraham, Jacob. Jacob had two wives, and the wives gave him their servant, sleep with, have more children. The wives did it. He didn't say, oh, no, don't do that. You're going to be an adulterer and a fornicator. That's why I said we don't understand the definitions of those words. We have put our own definition to them. We put a Western definition to them, but they are not the definition of the Most High. So let's keep going. If he take him another wife, to take another wife, that means you had to have one, her food and her raiment and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. So if you have a wife and you take another wife, you can't stop doing for the first wife to take the second wife. Keep doing it all. Keep providing, because, you know, most men today want to lay up on the woman. Most women today are taking care of their own business, got their own jobs, got their own house, got their own cars, the whole nine yards. I don't need a man. I can do for myself. But the problem is, if you be with anybody, then in the eyes of the Most High, that's your husband. And he shall rule over you. You are to submit yourself, not by the commandment of the man, but by the commandment of the Most High. He didn't say to Adam, beat your wife into submission. He told the woman, and unto your husband, submit yourself to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Whoever you choose to be your husband, submit yourself. That's a commandment from the Most High. That's a commandment that the woman's going to have to answer to the Most High. The man thinks it gives him authority to make her submit. Most High never told the man that. Never gave the man the authority to rule over her. It's not to be a tyrant, not to beat her into submission, not to make her do. If she don't do, guess who she's going to have to answer to? Most brothers say me. She's going to have to answer to me. Most High says, uh-uh. She's going to have to answer to me. I gave her that commandment directly. I told you, you do this. I told her, she do this. I told her she's to be in subjection to you. I didn't tell you to go and beat her, make her submit. even though you physically probably could do that. Beat the snot out of her until she kill you in your sleep or do something like that, because you got to sleep. But we got to understand these are the Most High's judgments. And if we want to say, well, we're under the New Testament, don't apply. He said, I'm going to write my law in your heart. My judgments are based upon my law. You break my law, this is my judgment. It don't change. It never will change. Until we get into the kingdom, when he comes and establishes it and we put on eternal life, he says, all right, random or marriage. You're not given in marriage in the kingdom when I give you eternal life. You're not given in marriage because you're not going to be having sex. You're not going to be running around here pleasuring yourself like that. So you're not given in marriage. You're like the angels. That's why I said, wait a minute, what kind of angels were these that they weren't used to being married, they weren't used to having sex, what gonna make them want to sleep with a human woman? So make that happen. How do you do that? That's like a man wanting to sleep with a monkey or a dog. Yeah, you got some, I guess you got some perverts out there, you can have some perverted angels. Because we got men that want to sleep with dogs, the men that want to sleep with monkeys, men that will sleep with anything. But we got women that will do the same thing and be turned on by it. So I guess you could have some angels with that kind of spirit. But if you know, if you got no gender, how do you even do that? That's just my thought. So, verse 10 again, if he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, her duty of marriage, meaning sleeping with her, shall he not diminish to take another wife? And if he do not these three unto her, then she shall go out free without money. Some brothers think that that means that she's supposed to go out broke. And that's not what that means. See, she don't pay to get out of the marriage. Say, oh, you've been living in my house 10 years, eating my food, I've been clothing you, and you got to pay me to get out of this. Because truth of the matter is, he's supposed to pay the dowry to her father. If the father was smart, he didn't spend the dowry on himself. That's just in case it didn't work. Now she's not a virgin anymore. She's got money to help take care of her from that dowry. It wasn't a little bit of money. But since we don't understand these relationships and we don't live by them, we don't understand these things. A man, so that he dies, shall be surely put to death. You kill a man, then you're supposed to life for a life, tooth for a tooth. Now, if it's an accident, he said, hey, if it's an accident, I'm going to make a place where you can run to, because your life is still required. But you didn't mean to do this. I know it was an accident, but the family of the person you killed, they got a right to take your life. This is my judgment. Don't matter if you did it in error, if you did it by accident. They have a right to take your life. You took a life. They have a right to take yours. Now, some people might say, well, that ain't fair. Take it up with the Most High. He said, a life for a life, a tooth for a tooth. an eye for an eye. Just keep going. And if a man lie not in wait, meaning that he didn't ambush somebody, he didn't plan this out, but Elohim delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither you shall flee. And if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, with hatred, thou shalt take him from my altar that he may die. So this one had an ought against his brother. He connived and said, you know what, I'm going to kill this SOB. And he goes and kills. And he don't really have a right to kill him. But he kills him. And then he runs to one of these safe places. Most of the time, take him from my altar and turn him over, that he may die. That the avenger of blood, whether it's the person's father, their brother, their uncle, whoever it is that's coming after him, give them to him so that he can die. He took a life, he needs to forfeit his life. He took a life in anger. It wasn't an accident. Then he forfeits his life. And you're going to take him from my altar. Now, if he did it by accident, then I'm going to make a city he can run into. And as long as the high priest in office at the time that he does this, as long as they're alive, he has sanctuary in that city. The elders shall protect him. They shall not let the avenger of blood get at him, because it was an accident. But if he leaves that sanctuary city before that high priest dies, and the avenger of blood catches him, the avenger of blood has authority and the right to kill him. A life for a life. But if the high priest that was in office when he committed that act dies, then that man is no longer tied to that city anymore. He doesn't have to stay there anymore, and the avenger of blood can't avenge that death. Now, the Most High set that stipulation. Long as the high priest is alive, you're living up under his atonement. And it's like when the high priest dies, he's taking your place. I don't know how the Most High has that work. But as long as that high priest is alive, you are in that sanctuary city. You got to stay in that sanctuary city. And if you're caught outside of that city, the avenger of blood can kill you and be guiltless because your life, for the life you took. So the Most High said, yeah, it was an accident. They didn't mean it. But you don't get off scot-free. Don't mean that you don't have to pay the penalty. But I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to make a place for you to flee to. You got to live there until such time as the high priest that's in office dies. Then the avenger of blood no longer has the right to kill you. Now, if he catches you and kills you, now he's to be killed. Because he took a life against the law, not in accordance with the law. That's why the scripture doesn't really say, thou shalt not kill. It says, thou shalt not murder. Murder is to take a life unjustly. Kill, you can be justified in taking the life from somebody. You take a life from a cow, a chicken, or whatever, you're taking a life. When it's a man, you can justly take the life of a man. He comes into your house, he's threatening you. He's going to take the life of one of your loved ones or you. You're protecting your family, you can take his life. So it's not that thou shalt not kill, shall not murder, take a life unjustly. So in this case, when this man accidentally kills somebody, the Most High says, yeah, I understand it's by accident. You can run here. you'll be protected. But if you break the law and you come out of this city and you get caught, the avenger of blood has the right to kill you. If the high priest that's in office while you did this dies, then now you can leave this sanctuary city and the avenger of blood does not have the right to kill you anymore. Why he set it up that way, you know, I'll have to ask him when I see him, if he gives me that opportunity. Most High, why did you make this law this way? So we got to understand these are his judgments. This is how he does things. And whether you like it or not, it's really irrelevant. Because you are supposed to obey him. Not in some things, but in all things. Israel didn't want to obey in all things. But they said that they were all that Yah has said we will do. When we enter into a relationship with him, we're saying the same thing. We don't get to come on our terms. See that where he says, if you agree to these terms, or you can modify these terms to fit you, and I will accept you. You ain't going to never find that nowhere in the scripture. Nowhere, at any time, ever. It's his way or the highway. That's why I said these are his judgments. And we want to supersede his judgments. We're going to stop here because it's 2 hours. I've run my mouth. We're going to finish this in the morning. Be a part two to this in the morning. 6 days with Yah. Because we're going to see as we read this, if I can get off, you know, stop my mouth from running. We're going to see that there's not a lot of time that goes by. It's less than 30 days that goes by before Israel corrupts themselves. But the Most High shows himself to them 6 days. 6 days, they got to think about everything that he's telling them here. All of his commandments, all of his judgments. They got 6 days to think about that stuff. As long as they can see Moses, they are obedient. But it's not what's in their heart. As soon as Moses is pretty much out of sight, what's in their heart comes out. Are we the same way today? Are we the same way? Do we do things in accordance with the word of the Most High? Do we understand that we are up under the same law? That's the new covenant. I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I never wanted the blood of bulls and goats for sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats burning on the altar smells good to me. But it don't smell good to me when it's for your sin. It's not that I didn't ever want sacrifice of bulls and goats. I never wanted it for your sin. I had to do that so that I didn't have to kill you. That animal's life was shed for you. But the animal ain't equal to you. So I allowed it to give you atonement for that sin or for 1 year. One year for your ignorant sin. Immediately for that intentional sin. But he never allowed them to bring, so I can't even say that. He never allowed them to bring an animal sacrifice for intentional or willful sin. Didn't bring an animal sacrifice, but all the sacrifices were for ignorant sin. Still apply today. I don't care what land you're living in. I don't care what the laws of the land are. The laws of the land don't supersede the laws of the Most High. And you can see that all through this book. Just look at Daniel or Joseph or anybody who was ever in captivity and serving the Most High. When the king of the land wanted him to do something that was against the Most High, we have to follow the Most High. You have to throw us in the furnace. Cut off our heads. Throw us in the lion's den. But we follow the laws of the Most High. People want to use the excuse, and I hear this all the time out of my Hebrew brothers and sisters, we ain't in the land. So we can't do that. You are a lie in your breath stink. You don't want to do it. You want to use it as an excuse not to do it. Tell that to Daniel. Tell that to Joseph. Tell that to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Tell that to any of the men of the Most High, because that's what it shows us. They were not in their land. They were even disobeyed a direct order of the king. A direct order. King said, hey, I gotta prosecute you, dude. I love you, but I gotta prosecute you because you broke my commandment. You broke my law. May your Elohim save you. I know who your Elohim is. May he save you. But you know what? I'm throwing your butt in that den with those lions. I'm going to go up here and fast for you too because I love you. I don't, you know, my men tricked me, but they got me, and I got to abide by my own law. And I know you can't bow down to anything else. And I wasn't thinking about that when I signed this decree. But I signed it. It's law. So let me go ahead and seal you on up in this room, put my seal on it, and I pray that your Elohim delivers you. But no, today, we want to say, well, hey, we're scattered amongst the nations. We serve the true and living God. We serve the true and living Elohim, but his laws don't trump theirs. They lie. And you're not serving the Most High Elohim. You're serving the government and the land in which you are. That is your Elohim, not the Most High. And just be real with yourself. I'm here to tell you that's what it's about. You're saying one thing out the side of your neck, and out the other side of your neck, and he's lying. He's lying. They don't serve the Most High Elohim. They have a form of godliness, but not according to knowledge. But if you had knowledge, you would know the commandments of the Most High trump everything. And you have to be even willing to die to uphold them, not to break them. But the truth of the matter is, let's just be real, we don't want to keep them anyway. And these laws are easier. These laws are easier. These laws can say, hey, I can play crazy. These laws can say, hey, I can declare my child to be crazy, have some type of mental instability, and that'll excuse them for doing what they're doing. Most High don't give. He doesn't give that. He doesn't take that. Most High is looking at, is it leading to sin? Is it breaking my commandment? That's what he's looking at. So we got to understand that. These are my judgments. You can't appeal above me. I am the Most High. There is no appeal above me. You can't go to another court except for yourself. So we go to the court of ourselves. And we make a judgment that outweighs the judgment of the Most High. And what we are really doing is saying what he says. You have declared yourself to be more righteous than I am, than me. And this is what he accused Israel of, because they would not keep these things. Go to one more place, and we'll close it up for this evening. And remember, tomorrow night, we will be doing the new moon service. Tomorrow during the day, morning service, I will continue in this lesson. Let's go to Romans 3. Let me make sure. Because we are supposed to learn from our forefathers. And we're supposed to learn what we're to do and not to do. If they got it wrong, and it's documented, surely we're not going to do the same thing and get it wrong the same way. Romans. Maybe it's 8. Hold on, let me find this. I thought it was 3. Just a second. Go to Romans 10. The book of Romans chapter 10. And I pray you get this with me. Because when we go into tomorrow, I want you to have this in the forefront of your mind. For I bear them, let's go, start in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. Might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. Just the way a lot of people are operating today. They have a zeal of Elohim. They're excited about it. I'm serving the Most High Elohim, but not according to knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. And this will get you killed. Because ignorance is not bliss. It's not bliss. It's not an excuse. For they being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. Are you and I doing that? Are we establishing our own righteousness? And not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of Elohim? Do we think that his laws concerning women are unjust? Do we think that any of his judgments are unjust because we don't personally agree with them? We grew up under a different standard. So surely that can't apply. That must apply to those Hebrews. No, if you say you are serving him, they apply to you. He did not do away with these things. He did not do away with his laws. He modified some. I never wanted the blood of bulls and goats for sacrifice. Hey, I did that for you. If not, I would have to kill you and you would be eternally damned. Because my judgment would stand. I made it a way where you could make an atonement. If you did it ignorantly, you can make an atonement. If you did it willfully, hey, I never was for you. You was that disobedient child, and I'll have you killed and not forgive you either. Because you disobeyed me willfully. You knew you were disobeying me, and you decided to do it. I don't know who you think you're playing with, but I don't play that. So you can come funny if you want to. Leave out of here with none of your teeth in your mouth. Leave out of here with no life. Because you think you can play with me that way. He says, I'm not the one. You can think that all you want. You're going to find out I'm not the one. So Israel went about to establish their own righteousness. To my judgment. No, we ain't following that. We ain't doing that. We said all that you said we would do, but we ain't doing that. We didn't know that when we agreed to do all you said. We didn't know you were going to say that. Who says that? That's the way Israel is acting. And if you say you are following the Elohim of this Bible, you're not following me. You don't do this because Brother Miles said, this is what you do. You do this because you're reading it for yourself. It's in black and white. It is written. He said, hey, well, I don't belong to that society. And you don't belong to the kingdom of the Most High. I'm just going to tell you straight up. You don't belong to his kingdom. You belong to whoever you submit yourself to, whatever laws you follow. That's who you belong to. And whoever or whatever you say is loving you, and you don't keep his commandments, he already told you, I love them that love me. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Those aren't just words thrown out there just to say, you know, let me threaten them. I love them that love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey my voice. You will do whatever I say to do. You may not want to, but you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because you fear me. He said because you love him. Because you fear me. You're going to obey me. And if you don't, you don't really understand what that lake is going to be like. You have no clue. You have no clue of how it feels to be on fire and feel all the pain but can't die. Think about that. If you've ever burnt yourself, even a little, you know, not even a third degree burn, a second degree burn, and the skin blisters up, you know how that feels. Most of us have done that. It's not something that we would want to experience for eternity. And this is not to scare you, because, you know, I used to hate, this Brother Miles talking now. I used to hate when people try to scare people into the kingdom. But I realized how foolish I was thinking that way. And I was being foolish. And I didn't have understanding until Yah gave me understanding. So you may hear this and not agree with me, and that's fine. Okay, it's good. But understand, I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm telling you something that I know. So you don't want to play with the Elohim of the Bible. You don't want to take his name in vain, saying that you belong to him, but you won't obey him. Yeah, I belong to you, but I'm not going to do what you say do. Yeah, you taking my name in vain. You don't belong to me. You just say you belong to me. And I'm not your Elohim. Because my people obey my voice. That's all the ones that I want. I don't want anybody else. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what you personally think. My sheep hear my voice and they obey. And if they don't obey, they are not mine. And if they say that they're mine, I'm going to punish them. I'm going to do worse than punish them. I'm going to throw them in that lake. So we got to understand, when we pick this up in the morning, think about that. Are you going about to establish your own righteousness? Are you using the excuse that these things were for Israel? These are not Israel's laws. These are not Israel's judgments. Israel wouldn't follow these. These are the Most High's laws. These are the Most High's judgments. The Elohim you say you serve. Do you really? Do you want to? It didn't change up under the New Testament. Actually, it's actually stronger up under the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, you had to have three witnesses. The witness said, hey, yeah, they were messing up. Yeah, we all three caught them. Yep. They were sleeping together. They ain't married. Three witnesses, two or by three. If it was just one, they could not bring a charge. Yeah, I know what they're doing, but I'm the only one to know, so I can't say nothing. I can go get some other witnesses and let's see if we can catch them. But by yourself, no. Couldn't bring a charge. Most I say is up under the New Testament. I'm going to judge you by your heart now. And if it was in your heart to do it, you are guilty. Whether you did it, physically did it or not. If it's in your heart, and I'm a discerner of the heart, I don't need no two or three witnesses no more. I took that stuff away. That is a change I made. I didn't change my law, but I said, you know what? I don't need two or three witnesses to see if you're breaking my law. When I judge you, I'm going to judge you, and I can read your heart, I can read your thoughts, and I can tell you what you were thinking and why you were thinking it. And you can't hide it from me. And I'm going to judge you by your heart. That's why Messiah said, you know what? If a man lusts after a woman, he lusts after her. That means in his heart, in his mind, he wanted to sleep with her. He wanted to sleep with him, because you can reverse this stuff too. So he's guilty. Even though he hasn't physically done it, he's guilty. In his heart, he has done it. If the opportunity presents itself, he will do it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. He's already done it in his mind. If he's done it in his mind, when it comes down to it, he's going to do it. He's already done it in his heart. Convince himself, yeah, I will tear that up, because you're already guilty. That's what I'm going to judge you based upon. But I never did it. Oh, yes, you did. You did it in your heart, and I judge the heart. So understand that it's harder. Stricter in the New Testament. In the New Testament, you can't go get no divorce. Because we don't get along. We fell out of love. Whatever the case may be. God says it was never intended to be that way. It was never intended to be that way. This is the way it was intended to be. And when we find ourselves contrary to that, we better, hey, I don't like those rules. I don't see anywhere where he said, do you like that? Do you agree with that? But this is the way it is. This is how you're going to be judged. It's a matter of the heart. Don't be getting married to somebody just because you're lonely and you don't want to be alone. Because you can't just hop out of that relationship because y'all don't love each other anymore. Or he's gotten violent. Or you can leave, but you ain't free to remarry. As long as he's alive, you're not free to remarry. I don't like that. I don't want to live forever by myself. I shouldn't have to pay because this idiot I married. Most I should have thought about all that stuff and made sure that the one that you were marrying is the one I meant for you. Is it unforgivable? No. But you can't knowingly do it and say, well, he's going to have to forgive me. If you find yourself already have done it and it was too ignorant, But once you know, no, you can't just do it. Because now it's a different circumstance. If it was ignorance, yeah, I didn't know. Most I didn't know. And you can't feign it, can't fake it. So we are going to be held accountable. And we got to know this, and we can't fool them. So, you know, as we close out tonight, make sure that you ask the Most High. If you had to, if you put yourself in this frame of mind, if I went before the Most High right now, in my current state, if I'm in trouble, what could I say to get out of trouble? What could I say to him? Can't lie. And if we think telling the truth, well, yeah, I knew, but I did it anyway, it's going to be like, oh, you so truthful. I'm going to forgive you. He might. Not my wheelhouse, not my domain. I can't tell what the Most High will say. You know what? Come on in. I see your heart, and your heart's right before me. Brother Miles, don't know that. I say you take a chance, an awfully big chance, with your eternal salvation if you rely on that. If you rely on that, you take a big chance with your own salvation. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, as we go through this precept, Father, unblock eyes, unstop ears, remove brain fog, remove the spirit of rebellion. Let your word ring true. Let the people hear it, let them understand. And let them accept all that you say they will do, or none that you say will they do. Because you're not an Elohim of half steps. You don't play hand grenades, and where we can play hand grenades or horseshoes and get close. Say, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. Convict them in their hearts, Father, to walk according to your ways. What are your judgments? Whether they agree with them or not, you never ask whether we agree. We agree to follow them. If we don't agree to follow them, we don't agree to follow you. So if this runs somebody away from you, Father, let it so be. Because they don't want to be there anyway. They want to do what they want and not what you have commanded. So let it be said, so let it be done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So in the morning we will continue this. And tomorrow night we will do the new moon service. We will celebrate the beginning of month with our Elohim prayerfully together. May Yah bless you. May He encamp His angels around you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I really, really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Keep His judgment. Keep His ordinances. And enjoy the rest of your evening. Somebody help me. Theme, not so far. Here we go. Broadcast over the internet. Shalom to you and happy Sabbath. Hope to see you guys for New Moon.